morning would be one that is useful for our comfort as we encourage one another, as we rejoice in the life of one of your saints well lived. May you be honored in this time together, and we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
We'll begin this morning by singing a hymn. Millie has picked the hymns for this morning. We'll begin, take your hymnals and turn to 319. And we'll sing together, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine." And Millie indeed had that assurance. Stand with me, please, as you're able, as we sing 319. Thank you. May be seated. This time, make it a practice to read the obituary. One of the things I learned just recently, there was a group of us a couple of Friday nights ago when Millie fell. We went to go visit her in the hospital, and I walked in and said something about Millie, and Dorothy was there, and the nurse was perplexed for a second. I didn't realize that depending on who you were and when you knew her, Millie is known by different names. So in the church, she was Millie. Apparently, for some people, she was Cece. Is that? So I'm going to call her Millie, because that's how I knew her. Let's go through, and I'd like to read the obituary. And one of the things I marvel at, and we'll talk about this more as the service unfolds, is just the scope of the life that Millie lived. And I think reading this obituary gives us a sense of that. Cecilia Miljevich, 93, a longtime resident of Wakefield, passed away peacefully late Monday evening, November 20th, 2017. Cecilia was born on June 17th, 1924, in Cordova, South Carolina, a daughter of John James and Ari Lee Murphy McMillan. She attended Cordova High School and graduated in 1942. Cecilia continued her education and earned a nursing degree, including special training as a cadet nurse at Tri-County School of Nursing in Orangeburg, South Carolina. It was in Orangeburg where she met her future husband, Roland Lewis Raleigh Miljevich, who was stationed at a U.S. Army base a short distance away. He was deployed to Germany during World War II. On October 5th, 1946, Cecilia was united in marriage to Roland at the home of his parents in Wakefield. They celebrated more than 52 years of marriage in Wakefield, and they were blessed with two children, Janice Rolla and Louis John. Cecilia worked as a registered nurse for 17 years at Divine Infant Hospital in Wakefield. In 1963, she took the position as school nurse at Bessemer Township Schools and then at Bessemer City Schools, retiring in 1986. During that time, Cecilia and Raleigh owned and operated the Milgy Cross Country Ski Trails and supplied Christmas trees for many years to family and friends from their tree farm. Cecilia was the last charter member, Calvary Baptist Church in Wakefield. She was a devoted member throughout her life and helped orchestrate numerous activities. Cecilia enjoyed sewing, cooking, cross-country skiing. She supported her husband's charter fishing business on Lake Superior and often accompanied him. It was a special occasion for her when she attended plays at the Fireside Dinner Theater in Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin. She always flew to South Carolina for an annual visit at Easter to visit her dear family and friends at their beloved River House for a family reunion. And in addition to the sort of formal memories that an obituary represents, I try to make it a custom when we have a funeral service here to gather memories from others. I've been the pastor here for 6 years, and what I've gathered hearing stories about Millie in these last 3 days is, knowing her only for the last 6 years, I missed a lot of fun. I was writing some of these memories down, A couple folks in our church sent emails here, and I know there are many of you that have other stories. I think as I'm walking through and listening to you talk, I think one of my favorite conversations to hear is one that begins, "Do you remember when?" Have lots of those conversations. But I was starting to write this, and then I opened some of the emails from church folks who were sending me stories, and I was comforted that one of the phrases that I tried to use to capture what I saw in Millie, one of our longtime church members used the same phrase, is she may be the truest example of a Southern Belle Uber who ever lived. I just have a couple of stories here, and I've broken them into categories. It doesn't take long, it seems, with stories of Millie, for food to come up. That her recipes have spread far and wide. I was hearing from one of our church members of people who'd visited here, and you know, I had this thing here, and the recipes just get sent around and passed down from generation, not only in her own family, but here in the church family as well. I think my favorite of the food stories so far is among the recipes that she was known for was her trout recipe. And she had taught that recipe to one of the ladies in our church, who apparently thought it was so good that her family in North Carolina needed to share it as well. And instead of sending the recipe, she was going on a trip to North Carolina. So she prepared the trout, froze it, wrapped it, and took it in her carry-on on the plane. I think TSA would have something to say about that today. Certainly speaks of a different time, but not only did Millie's recipes travel, but sometimes apparently Millie's food traveled as well. Her humor and her zest for life, and this is why I say, I as I'm hearing more and more stories, I feel like I did miss out on a great deal of fun. Even in these last years, there was a mischievous twinkle to Millie's eye at times. I remember going in just recently when she was in the care center to visit her, and you know, she had a very, very light voice at this point, you know, very would labor to breathe, and I went in, "Millie, how are you feeling?" And I'm leaning in for an answer, and she says totally seriously, "Fingers and toes." And it took me a couple beats to realize she was pulling my leg again. Some of you will be able to fill in the details on some of these stories more than what even I know, but I've been told that when they were out on the fishing boat, there was some sort of bell that would signal a catch. That Millie liked to ring when there was no fish there, just to pick at her husband. I left this one as well. One of our church members recalled that in Millie's living room there was a huge deer head that apparently would also make appearances at our church for certain dinners at the church. But she would tell guests at the home, especially kids, that the back end of the deer was on the other side of the wall. Most kids and some adults fell for it. One of the other ladies in the church reminisced about a time that there was a ladies' gathering where there was a fashion show that everything was, and I have to say here, groan-worthy puns. Bell bottoms were equipped with actual bells. T-shirts had tea bags. The 10-gallon hat had 10 empty milk gallons on it. And Millie's contribution, she took some old checks and wrote every lady in the church a check with each of us getting at least $1 million. And then she stapled them all over her skirt for a checkered skirt. I think I'm just beginning to scratch the surface of those stories. There seem to be a nearly limitless amount of stories along those lines that, again, share these with each other, but I'd like to hear them as well, because I'm enjoying it. her love for God, and her service to the church. One of the ladies in the church mentioned the day Millie lost her son. One of the church ladies stopped in to go see her. She just found Millie at her dining room table reading her Bible. As we've already noted, Millie was here since the very beginning of the church. It's a remarkable thing. The last remaining charter member. But it certainly could not be said that in all her time here, she was far more than one who just occupied space in the church for all those years. She was actively involved in a variety of ministries. She and her husband were the youth group leaders from the late 60s to the early 70s. Millie taught Sunday school up until the mid-80s. She taught in our vacation Bible school for many, many years, and then eventually started the slow retirement out of vacation Bible school by being the refreshment lady for vacation Bible school. And one of the other ladies in the church who now handles the refreshments for vacation Bible school. And this is more meaningful than you might suspect. Talked about how as she was taking over refreshments for vacation Bible school, how much Millie helped her out knowing what to do. That one of the things you sometimes see in churches is that people get possessive of certain ministries and no one else will ever do it. And Millie was faithful for all those years. And yet, when it was time for someone else to do the ministry she was doing, she was gracious in helping the next generation do it. It's a remarkable evidence of character. One of the ministries of the church that for years we've appreciated is the clearing of our church parking lot. Her truck is the reason we've been able to park for many, many years. In years ago, Raleigh would plow the church. After he passed, Millie plowed the church parking lot for many years. And I'm just going to read the statement here. After a number of unfortunate encounters with the plow and the church building, I heard some of the poles. Millie was retired from plowing duties, but her truck has been and still has been in service to the church. She set an example of using her possessions for the Lord's work. She was generous with her time and talents. She never asked for help unless it was absolutely necessary. I was talking to Gerald Rocco this morning. And I think one of the great ironies of this funeral service, just even having this funeral service, is that, again, in as much as I knew Millie for these last 5 or 6 years, one thing that she didn't want is for anyone to make a fuss over her. It's good and right for us to make a fuss over her, but I have a feeling she'd be very uncomfortable with it, because she wanted to serve others without drawing all kinds of attention to herself. Remarkable woman. And again, I haven't even begun. I mean, there's so many more stories. Like I said, share these stories with one another. Share these memories that Millie lives on in these memories. At this time, we're going to have a special song, a solo, a song that meant a lot to both Raleigh and Millie. He was there all the time.
Trying to blame all my ills on this world I was in. Surface relationships used me till I was done in. And although, well, someone was begging from sin. He was there all the time. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time. Never again will I look for a fake rainbow's end. Now that I have the answer, my life is just starting to run. Sharing each new day with him is a cup of fresh life. But all what I missed, he'd been waiting right there all the time. He was there all the time. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time. He was there.
Scripture reading this morning, also chosen by Millie, Psalm 23, a very familiar text, but no less meaningful for its familiarity. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And indeed she is. Our next song in your hymnals, 469. This is one may not be as familiar, but again, one chosen for us this morning with a very good text and very, very fitting for our service this morning, Beyond the Sunset. You may remain seated. 469.
Beyond the sunset, when day is done.
this morning is going to be in Psalm 71. If you want to follow along in the Pew Bible in front of you, it'll be page 615 in the Bible there. I have a book in my library called The Hardest Sermons You'll Ever Preach. Most of those in the book are funeral sermons, and as you might expect, therefore, incredibly hard circumstances, the death of young children or acts of sudden violence, things like that. This funeral today is in many ways the opposite of those kinds of immensely tragic funerals. And yet, as I prepared for this, it has remained a very difficult funeral for me to preach. The difficulty I found is trying to do justice to such a life of faithfulness as Millie lived. I had the honor of being Millie's pastor for only a very short time. As I've said, I've been the pastor here for not quite 6 years. Millie has been a member of the church here for over 10 times as long as I've been the pastor. I've been trying to process just the immensity of the faithfulness represented by Millie's life. We've had a number of pastors at our church through the years, well over a dozen pastors in the 60-ish years that the church has been here. Millie was the constant through them all. She was a member here not only longer than I've been alive. She was a member here longer than my parents have been alive. Realistically, it's unlikely that I'll ever have the impact on our church that Millie had in all her years. This is why I say I genuinely feel inadequate to preach the funeral of such a faithful saint. I've heard a couple of folks in our church say that Millie's passing represents the end of an era at our church, and this is right. And so it is good for us this morning to gather together and just reflect on and ponder the faithfulness of Millie's life. Throughout Scripture, we see examples made of God's servants through the ages. Indeed, there's some of you know this, Hebrews chapter 11, one of the more famous chapters in Scripture, sometimes called the Hall of Faith, where the author of Hebrews just goes through a catalog of sort of heroes of the faith and recounts their continuing on in faithfulness all their days. And it's right for us to read a passage like that and look at these heroes of faith and be astonished at what they did and be inspired by what they did in similar ways. That's what we're doing this morning. At least not a Bible character. But her faithfulness is astonishing. So when someone like Millie follows Christ faithfully for decades, it is right for us to think about her life, to express our admiration for her, our astonishment at what she has done, and to set before us that example for our own life. Throughout the Bible, God calls his children, I want you to get this, to persevere, to continue in the faith. The reality is that life presents all of us obstacles and challenges to continuing in the faith. We were just talking about this here at our church yesterday in the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And the reality is, for those of us who profess faith in Christ, who are trying to walk in Christ's likeness, if I were to ask you what circumstances in life have most drawn you to Christ, most of us would say it's the hard times of life. But here's the reality. If I were to ask, what circumstances in life most drive people from Christ? It's often that the answer is the same, isn't it? The hard things of life. And so the calling for us as Christians, one of our most foundational callings is this. Just keep believing, to continue having faith from day to day through the same sort of circumstances that drive some people away from Christ, to continue believing. And here we have today, as we rejoice in Millie's life, the example of one who continued in that faithful walk, not only through individual hard days, but through years and years and decades of hard days. Faithful. Faithful. To get through decades, still believing, is a pattern for us all. And as I say, the irony of our service this morning is that, again, as much as I had a chance to know her, Millie wasn't one that wanted to be made a fuss over. I think she would rather that we make much of the God she loved. So for that reason, we're going to spend time here in Psalm 71. And I'm going to just draw your attention to a handful of verses here in Psalm 71 this morning. Start reading in verse 9. We'll read verses 9 through 11, and then we'll read one other section later on here. The psalmist says this, "Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. For my enemies speak concerning me, and those who watch my life consult together and say, 'God has forsaken him.' Pursue and seize him, for there is none to deliver him." I don't want you to get distracted by this. So far as I know, Millie didn't have any notable enemies that were wanting harm for her. That's not my point here. My point here is that just as Millie was faithful to God throughout all her days, God also was faithful to Millie. The reality is that Millie's faithfulness is admirable ultimately because she has placed her faith in a faithful God, one who would not cast her off in a time of old age or forsake her when her strength was spent, but was with her not only to the end of her earthly life, but now forever and ever. Look at verse 15. Verses 15 through 21. "My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God I will come. I will remind them of your faithfulness, yours alone. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those who come. Your righteousness, O God, reaches to the high heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You have made me see many troubles and calamities. You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth you will bring me up. You will increase my greatness and comfort me again." Those words, particularly in verses 17 and 18, those words of the psalmist found fulfillment in Millie's life. That prayer of the psalmist, that even to old age, don't forsake me, God, until I can proclaim your greatness to another generation. We've gathered here today as those who Millie has not only declared the greatness of God to another generation, but to another generation and another generation after that. And it was her delight to do so. Think of all the years with her serving in children's ministry, vacation Bible school, and Sunday school. And here she was proclaiming the greatness of God from generation to generation to generation, answering that prayer. She did this in her home. She did it formally, teaching children and youth. She did it among her friends and to other family. The impact of Millie's steady faithfulness through the years is one that I know many of you were influenced by. And so those concluding verses that we read, verses 19 through 21, God's righteousness reaches to the heavens. He is faithful forever. And though in verse 20, you who have made me see troubles and calamities will revive me again from the depths of the earth, you will bring me up. In its immediate context, that's a bit of a metaphor. The psalmist is saying, I've been brought low and I'll be raised high again. The reality is there is also a literal truth to that. One of the most essential Christian truths is this. As we lay this body of Millie's to rest, she's not done with it. Christian teaching on the end of all things is not that we are trying to escape from our bodies, that we live as these disembodied things floating on clouds playing harps. The Bible teaches that just as Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, we too, who have put our faith in Christ, will also be raised. And so as Millie has, in these last years, seen the breaking of this earthly body, enduring it so graciously and so gracefully, as her body has suffered under the effects of the fall that all of our bodies suffer from, she did it with the confidence that one day she would be raised up. And this is important. This is absolutely important. Millie's confidence that she would be raised up wasn't because Millie was just such a perfect person. I have a feeling with this, it's as much of a mischievous streak as I've already heard. None of us are perfect people, including Millie. Millie's confidence. We gather for funerals like this, and it's often the case that regardless of the circumstances of the funeral, everyone just assumes that everyone goes to heaven. And Millie had taught through her life, and she believed and proclaimed, and I truly believe she would want to have proclaimed, God did not receive Millie because of Millie's goodness. The gospel that Millie believed was that all of us are sinners. All of us have done what God says we ought not do. And God's standard is perfection. God is a holy God. And this puts us in a terrible situation, because if we're sinners and God is holy, then what we deserve, if God is going to be fair, if God is going to be just, what we deserve is judgment. And that's a fearful prospect. But the good news of Scripture is this, that Jesus Christ, who is God Himself, came and took on our nature. He kept God's law perfectly, and at the cross, He took the punishment that we deserve. He took the punishment even that Millie deserved. And because Millie had placed her faith entirely on Jesus Christ and on Him alone for the forgiveness of her sins, the Bible says that God is faithful and just to forgive her sins. And for that reason, not because of the goodness of Millie, but because of the faith of Millie in Jesus Christ, she is welcome into heaven today, rejoicing in the presence, as we just sang, of God the Father, whom she adores. This is a message of grace. And it's of this grace that we will now sing. The next song, and here, if you have your program there, there's one stanza there in the funeral booklet that isn't in the hymnal, and so it'd be better to follow along in the funeral booklet. Most of you will be very familiar with the tune here for Amazing Grace, But there's a stanza that's very fitting for funerals that we will also be singing here, five stanzas here. If you'd stand with me, please, as we sing together Amazing Grace. Here. In our closing prayer, we will also thank God for the meal that's been provided for us. You are all welcome downstairs as we have a meal together. And again, comfort one another today. Rejoice in a life well lived, in the life of a saint who is with her God forever and ever and ever. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we confess that this is a hard day, though in this we still remain thankful to you. We are thankful, first of all, for the salvation that you graciously granted to Millie through Jesus Christ, her Lord. We are thankful for her life well lived, for the examples that she has left to us, the challenge, for the influence and impact she's made on so many here. We're thankful for these friends and loved ones who have been blessed by knowing her, and for the opportunity that even this occasion gives for us to gather together, to renew relationships, to express our love and care for one another. We ask that today would be a day of comfort. We grieve today, but we do not grieve as those who have no hope, for we have firm confidence that Millie has been received into your presence. She has walked her whole life by faith. Now she walks by sight, seeing for herself the things that she longed for. Her battle is over, and through Christ she has overcome. And so, Father, let us comfort one another with these truths. We are grateful also for the meal that we are about to receive, for your provision for it. We ask that our conversation around this meal would bring honor to you. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.